Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I am your fat host, Ash. And on today's show, I decided to change up the format a little bit. I asked for questions on Instagram, and several of you submitted questions. So when I put out the call, I said that the questions could be fat activism related or just personal questions for me, and I got a fair bit of both. So we're just going to work through these. I want to note at the beginning that there are some of these questions that I think warrant more discussion and thought than I can possibly give to them in an episode like this, where I'm just doing short answers. but this is helpful because it kind of points me in a direction and tells me what you guys would like to hear episodes about. So when I get to one of those questions, I will answer it as best I can quickly in this short format, and then I'll down the road we'll talk about doing a dedicated episode about some of these things. But in the meantime, I'm just going to try and, like, you know, give a short and sweet answer, and with the caveat that some of these things are going to require more thought and discussion. Okay, so we have quite a few questions here, so let's get right into it. I'm not going to tell you the name of the person that asked this question, these questions, because some of them are a little personal and sensitive, and I don't want anyone to feel outed or anything. Okay, so let's start with some easy ones. Let's see. Favorite fat media. As you all know from my last episode, I really love Dietland, the book and the TV show. There have been 3 episodes now since Allison and I did that episode. I am not fully caught up on the show because I was on vacation. But once I am fully caught up, I will do a short little follow-up episode, possibly with Allison. We'll see if she's listening to this. Hey, Allison, you want to do it? but yeah, to talk about the rest of the season and how they wrapped it all up. So that will be coming down the line. The season finale just aired last night and I have not watched it yet. So down the line, we will we'll work on that. Other fat media that I enjoy, I loved Shrill, Lindy West's book, Shrill. And I'm so excited that there's a show coming led by A.D. Bryant. It's going to be, I can't imagine it being anything but amazing because I love A.D. Bryant and I love Lindy West. So how can it not be good? So I'm excited for that. Other fat media, I love Jess Baker's books. I loved Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls and now Land Whale. I'm not finished with Land Whale yet, but it's amazing and you should definitely read those. Anyway, that's what I've got right off the top of my head. I'm sure that there are more that I am totally missing, but those are that's a place to start if you're looking for fat media. Let's see. How do you handle seating? I have a hard time going out to places and not fitting in a chair or a booth. So, seating is difficult, because I always feel like not only am I worried about not fitting in a chair or a booth, but is the chair sturdy enough? Like, I don't want to break a chair in a restaurant. Also, a lot of restaurant chairs are just horribly uncomfortable. So when I am going out, I try to, well, traditionally, I've tried to check out Google and see if I can find any photos of the restaurant seating. or the venue seating. Usually that takes scrolling through a lot of photos of things that I am not interested in. But sometimes I can get a good idea of what the seating looks like. But thankfully, we have Algo coming. And the goal for Algo is to be able to have a dedicated site where fat people or people with where fat people can go and review restaurants and event venues and talk about the seating there, and so that other fat people can go there and check it out and have a reliable review of things like seating. So hopefully Algo will be exactly what we need on that front. And we won't have to, as Rebecca from Algo says, scroll through 1,000 pictures of ravioli to get to one of what the chairs look like. Okay. Can everyone gather our talents and start an airline that's comfortable for all fat people? I wish, if anybody if anybody has an angel investor with millions and millions of dollars to dedicate to this venture, I am totally interested. I don't know anything about starting an airline, but I feel like we could make it happen. Okay. Why do you think fat phobia even exists? We're human too. Well, on a high level, fat phobia exists because of 100-ish years of body insecurity that was cultivated by advertisers and a very, very profitable diet industry. On an individual level, fat phobia exists because people have a fear of becoming fat themselves. And fat phobia allows thin or fit people to believe and to reassure themselves that they have found and maintained some set of behaviors that gives them total control over the shape and size of their bodies. So fatphobic thin people think that they're thin because they have, you know, acted healthfully, that they have exhibited healthy behaviors, and that they are totally responsible for the way they look. And doesn't have anything to do with genetics or chance or anything. Fat phobia allows thin people to believe that everything that they have, their body shape, is because of their own hard work. And, you know, we just know that that's not entirely true. I mean, plenty of people follow strict diets and exercise regularly, and they'll never be thin. And there are thin people that sit on their couches and eat pizza rolls and Twinkies every day and don't move a muscle, and they remain thin. And I was reading this Twitter thread recently about it was a straight size person talking about fat phobia and about how we're all very willing to believe that a thin person who eats like crap and doesn't ever exercise is just naturally thin, and people tend to like be envious of that kind of person and say like, oh, you're so lucky that you can eat like that and eat whatever you want and never gain a pound. And people accept that because that's just the way some people are naturally built. But we never accept that for fat people. Like, fat people are always to blame for the way they look. And no one ever accepts that fat people are fat because of just the way they are, because, you know, some kind of genetic makeup that science doesn't fully understand yet. And that's kind of a profound realization, and it's pretty fucked up. But because of diet culture and fat phobia, thin people especially, believe that if they are thin, it's because of a way that they have acted or because of their virtuous behaviors. And then they believe that they can lord that over people who are not thin, even though basically they won the lottery, you know? Anyway, that was long-winded, but yeah, that's why I think fatphobia exists, because it allows thin people to feel comfortable and superior. And it just keeps going on. Okay, next question. Let's see. There was a question that asked, what do you say to yourself when you want to binge eat? And that question made me a little uncomfortable because just because I'm a huge human does not mean that I have binge eating disorder. I do not have any eating disorders. I am just a fat person. And I am in no way an expert in intuitive eating, but I think that's something that you should look into. I think you should listen to Food Psych, the podcast, because they have much more valuable information on managing eating in a healthful and self-loving way, in a body positive way. So that would be my suggestion for this person who asked this question, because I'm not the person to ask about how to manage binge eating. Okay. Do you have advice on the health at every size topic concerning super fat people? I don't. And again, I am not an expert on health at every size. I would suggest seeking out Made on a Generous Plan on Instagram. Meredith is a food and body piece coach. She's based in Portland, but she does online coaching. And she's actually, I owe her an email. She is starting her own podcast soon. But I had her on the podcast last year, and she talked about health at every size with me and cleared up some misconceptions that I had about health at every size. So if you're curious about health at every size, I would suggest seeking her out. Okay, next question. Your thoughts on the intersection of super fatness and disability / accessibility. So for me personally, there's a huge intersection between super fatness and disability and accessibility, because I do have mobility impairments, and it's definitely an obstacle for me in some areas. For example, I just traveled for a vacation. I went to Texas with my husband to visit friends, and it was amazing. I had the best time. But I was so anxious before going about the airport. I'm not anxious about flying because, you know, I've worked that out. I, you know, get two seats, and the plane itself is not a big deal for me. I've worked through all of those issues, like the actual plane travel issues that come with being my size. However, airports make me so anxious because they're very big, and there are tons of people around, and I just can't walk for extended periods of time, or I can't stand still for extended periods of time, like in security lines. So I get so anxious. Thankfully this time I had my husband with me. I was able to get wheelchairs, in airports, there are wheelchairs everywhere. Unfortunately, most of them are not made for people my size. And the first, so on the way to Houston, there was a wheelchair that I got in that kind of felt like it was going to explode under me, and is being pushed by an airline employee. And I don't know, it's just a very uncomfortable experience all around. that I kind of just had to like shut my mind off and get through. But I made it and I didn't let it, my anxiety about it, stop me from making this trip. But it's something that I think about all the time, about things like, you know, wheelchairs that aren't made for fat people. When I left Houston, thankfully, that airport was so busy and I was so anxious. My husband and I found just some wheelchairs that were just sitting, like there's always like a corral of wheelchairs, you know, by the desks if in case people need them. So my husband and I found those and we went to grab one, figuring that we would find one that was like, you know, I could barely fit into, like the one on the way to Houston. And we did find one that I could squeeze into uncomfortably. But as I was sitting down, a Southwest employee saw me and asked if I needed a bigger chair. And I was like, oh, I guess I didn't know that there was a bigger chair. I thought that, you know, that was the biggest one there was. And she said, yeah, there is one single bariatric wheelchair, which I hate that term, bariatric. But anyway, there was one single giant wheelchair in the whole airport, and she would go get it for me. So she did. It took a while because it was apparently like across the entire airport she had to get to. But she brought it, and it was an infinitely better experience. My husband actually pushed me himself, and he was sweating and he got a workout, but it was so much better to have a wheelchair that I actually fit in. And unfortunately, chairs that size are just few and far between anywhere. And as I said, there was only a single wheelchair that size in the entire airport. So those are things that I think about when I think about the intersection of super fatness and disability. Even the accessibility options that there are in places like airports are often unusable by super fat disabled people or infant fat disabled people. So that's something that also we need to work on. Yeah, that was a ramble about my airport vacation. Okay, next question. I am dwelling on these questions way too long. I've got a lot to get through. Okay. How do I confront fatphobic members of my family? Well, I did an episode about this at Christmas time, I believe, about confronting your fatphobic family members at the holiday dinner table. So I would suggest listening to that one. The gist of the episode is that you have to choose your battles. Only you know your family and how they react to that kind of stuff, and just stand your ground and do your best. And if you have to, just don't go home for Christmas. It works out. Okay, when/if you have children, how would you raise them without bias? I do not plan on having children. I'm not a kid kind of girl. And my husband is also not a kid kind of guy. So I won't have children. And I am definitely not an expert on child rearing. I don't know how parents even do it. But I would suggest that you follow fat moms that I do admire on Instagram. Fat Girl Laughing, Chelsea, Livid Lipids. Those are just two that I know and love, and they're raising kids in a fat positive way. But I think the most important thing is to just lead by example. Don't say negative things about your body in front of your kids. And I think that's the first step. But that's really all the advice I can give you, because I do not know how to raise kids. So I advise you to follow the people who are fat and raising kids, because they would know better than I would. Okay, how do you stay calm / confident when out in public solo? I find I shrink when I'm solo in public. So I definitely think that it is harder to be a visible fat person when you're alone. When you're with someone you know and you trust out in public, it feels like they're sort of like a shield. When you're alone, it can feel like you're overexposed. And the way I deal with that is to just refuse to see anyone who might be making fun of me or, you know, taking photos of me. I just choose not to notice that stuff. I think the best advice I can give you is to not look for people who are paying attention to you or who are making fun of you. Just don't look for them. And I don't think you'll see them a lot of times. I think for me, when I'm feeling vulnerable in that way, I just, you know, keep my eyes straight forward and I focus on what I'm doing and what the task that I have, the errand that I'm running, because I'm a real person that needs to get shit done in this world and just like everyone else. And who cares what everybody else is doing around me? So yeah, laser focus and a refusal to acknowledge anybody who might be acting shitty around me. That's how I deal with it. Okay, next question. And this one's sort of a big one, and I don't think that I can adequately talk about it in this short amount of time, but I'm going to give you a condensed answer. So the question is, if you think people getting weight loss surgery is incompatible with fat activism, how/do you stay friends with people who get it? Okay, so yeah, I think this question deserves a dedicated episode. The short answer, which will probably not be that short, is that I guess I don't necessarily think that the act of getting weight loss surgery immediately disqualifies someone from being a fat activist. For me, fat activism is the belief in and the dedication to fighting for the rights of fat people. I think it's possible to have surgery and still believe in those things, like to make a decision based on your own circumstances that is not inherently fat phobic. People get weight loss surgery for many, many reasons. I do think that it's possible to make that decision and not do it because of fat phobia. I believe in body autonomy, and I trust that people who have weight loss surgery are making the best decision that they think that they can make for themselves. So I don't think that that immediately disqualifies anyone from being a fat activist, because I don't think fat activism has a size requirement, because I'd actually love to see more non-fat people doing fat activism work. But not talking over fat people. I should add that caveat. So if a friend has had weight loss surgery, but their thoughts and values still align with fat activism messaging, then by all means, I'm happy to have them as friends. However, I'd venture to say that many people who have had weight loss surgery do not, in fact, believe in fat liberation. And that's just because weight loss surgery gets pushed on us, and many people that have it are uncomfortable with being fat, and they have it because of they are uncomfortable with being fat. So if a friend has had weight loss surgery and then no longer seems to believe in my right to my own body autonomy or my right to have access to healthcare, etc., then no, we would not remain friends, because this fat activism is super important to me. And if you don't value my right to, you know, equal opportunity and employment and, you know, access to healthcare, then we're not going to be friends. So that's my short answer. If a friend has surgery and still believes in my right to remain fat and still be treated with dignity and respect, then we can remain friends. If a friend has surgery and our values suddenly diverge, then no, we will not remain friends. But yeah, I think that this topic of weight loss surgery is very, very intense and nuanced. And I think there's a lot of things that need to be said. So I do want to do a dedicated episode on weight loss surgery in the fat community. Because it happens and I think it needs to be discussed. Okay. So let's see. What's our next question? Oh, how do you handle sweaty areas? This is a very different topic. So people do different things for sweaty areas. My first instinct is to say that I just avoid sweating. I stay inside. I'm indoorsy. I stay in air conditioning as much as possible. but I think that people handle things in a lot of different ways. Some people use deodorant in areas that they get sweaty. I tend to get sweaty behind my knees because I have very big thighs and I have like a roll sort of behind my knees. That's the most irritating place to get sweaty for me. And if it's super sweaty, I will like roll up a piece of paper towel and stick it back there. And my legs are that fat that it just stays there. Obviously, that's what I'm, you know, wearing pants, not what I'm. I don't wear shorts, but anyway, or like dresses without leggings. But if I'm particularly sweaty behind my knees, that's what I will do. Some people get sweaty under their bellies. I also do. But the way I combat that is I wear my underwear tucked under my belly, not over. And that keeps it from getting too sweaty because there's like, you know, material there to keep things from rubbing together, you know. But some people use like a hand towel or something. People will put paper towel in like in their bras to keep their boobs from getting too sweaty. Yeah, I think everybody does something slightly different. Okay, we should take a break. That's most of the fat questions, I think. Everything else is pretty personal questions about me. So let's take a break and hear a message from Big Fig. It's finally officially summer and it is hot. And every other summer I've woken up sweaty and sticky and dying for a shower. This summer though, I've got my Big Fig and I'm telling you that thermogel cooling layer is the real deal. Every morning, I've woken up feeling comfy and rested and refreshed. Big Fig is the first mattress system created especially for larger sleepers. It has pocketed coils that give me the support that I need and foam layers that keep me super comfy. Plus, I opted for the Big Fig frame that's made of recycled railroad steel, and that thing is solid as a rock. This bed is going to last, and Big Fig stands by that with a 20-year warranty. Learn more about the first bed made for fat people at bigfigmattress.com and use the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. Sleep cool this summer with Big Fig. Okay, back to these questions. Let's see what we've got now. As I said, I think the rest are mostly personal questions about me. Rather than about fat topics. Let's see. When is your birthday? What is your astrologic sign? And do you believe in astrology? My birthday is June 12th, which makes me a Gemini, which means absolutely nothing to me. I don't believe in astrology. I think that the profiles I've seen that are supposed to be about Geminis 100% do not fit me in nearly any way. I'm like the world's biggest skeptic on many, many things. And astrology is just one of those things. I don't want to like discount anyone who does believe in astrology, but I just don't. I don't know. I'm just a skeptic on this and many other things. So yeah, I'm a Gemini, but it means nothing to me. And I also think that Gemini 100% does not fit with my actual personality. What are some of your favorite podcasts? Okay, so there are obviously all the fat podcasts. Fat Club, She's All Fat, many others. I'll put links in the show notes for all of those, which I think are important. And I think it's important to support fat people doing these ventures, including other podcasts. My favorite non-fat podcasts are, I like the Mortified podcast, which is people reading from their childhood diaries, adult people reading from their childhood diaries, hysterical. My very, very favorite podcast for years has been Radiolab. I'm secretly like a nerdy science person. And Radiolab does topics that are often science-based that are super interesting and well done. So you should definitely listen to Radiolab. I also am really into like, what else? I love Reply All from Gimlet. I wish I had my phone in front of me so I could tell you what else I go in phases with podcasts. Like sometimes I want to listen to exclusively like sciencey type podcasts. Sometimes I want to listen to exclusively storytelling type podcasts. There's this podcast that I really like. It's hosted by Chris Gethard, the comedian. And it's called Beautiful Anonymous. And it's basically just a 1-hour show where he takes a random caller. And they can talk about whatever. It's an anonymous call. They can talk about whatever is going on in their lives, you know, their life stories. But I really love that podcast because it's just like so many different people. Like you really get a sense of how alike we all are, how some experiences are so universal. And also about how absolutely unique and amazing we all are. For political podcasts, I like the Pod Save the series. So like Pod Save the People, Pod Save America, all of those crooked media podcasts. There's one called Love It or Leave It that I really like. The most hilarious podcast I've ever heard is My Dad Wrote a Porno. If you've not heard it, it is absolutely hysterical. Like I have cried so many times of laughter listening to that show. It's so stupid funny. Anyway, I love podcasts. They're like my favorite thing in the world, and I could not possibly talk about all the ones I love here. So those are just some, and I'm sure I'm missing some that are super important to me, but that's what I've got for now. Famously, last year I did a thread on Facebook for all of my friends where I asked people to comment and I would recommend a podcast for them. And that was so fun for me because I got to like think about the people that are my friends and think about what kind of podcasts they might enjoy, which I really loved. I'm the type of person that in every conversation I like talk about a podcast. Like we'll be talking about something random and I'll be like, oh, I heard a podcast about that. It's very annoying. Even to myself. I'm a podcast nerd and there are many. I should make a list someday of everything I actually regularly listen to. It would be a long list. Okay. So yeah, those are my favorite podcasts. Okay. What's next here? what shows are you watching right now? Okay, so here's the thing about me. I love trashy reality TV. I find it so entertaining. And yeah, so I am ashamed slash not ashamed to admit that this summer I have been addicted to Love Island. If you do not know what this is, it's a British reality dating show where a bunch of like early 20s people live in a villa and they all like date around, date each other. And it's terrible and trashy and amazing. And I love it. So that's what I've been watching this summer. I also like Big Brother, and last year and into the beginning of this year, I was addicted to watching every season of The Amazing Race from start to finish. So I did that. I don't know. I just find reality TV like so, it's escapism, because like even though it's supposed to be reality, it is 100% nothing like my own reality. But I love it. I am a little ashamed, but I do love it. I love cheesy reality TV. So this is a question from, I'm going to out this person because she came for me with this question. Why do you like nuts? I mean, they're clearly disgusting. I fear for you. That was my friend Allison. And she is wrong, because nuts are amazing. And I love nuts because they taste good. And I don't know what happened to her in her life that made her not like nuts, because clearly it was tragic, because nuts are delicious. And all dessert items need to have nuts in them. That's my opinion. I love nuts. Okay, most awkward slash funny first date. I don't really have any awkward, funny first date stories. I have some disaster ones. I went on a date with a guy who drove a motorcycle, like one of those crotch rocket type motorcycles, and which I hate, by the way. Like, I find them so cheesy. But so he came to the restaurant on this stupid crotch rocket, and I don't even know what the proper term, like a street bike or something. Anyway, so we are eating dinner and our waitress comes up and says to my date, hey, are you the person who rode this motorcycle? And he said, yeah. And she goes, oh, you left your headlight on. And he was so shitty about it that he snapped at her and was like, yeah, I leave it on because I don't want people to hit my bike. And like, he was super rude. And I was instantly like, welp, like, this is done. Like, I am absolutely not interested in you. I hate when people are rude to wait staff. I hate it so much. And so then I was instantly like, not interested anymore. And he was just like an arrogant dick anyway. So it was never going to go anywhere. But I always think about that when I think about first dates. Like, oh God, what a dick. Okay. Would you talk about how you met your partner? I've started dating and find the endeavor pretty disheartening. Yes. So my husband and I met New Year's Eve weekend, 5.5 years ago. So 2012 going into 2013. Anyway, that's when we met. We met at an event, a BBW event. And he was dating someone at the time. I was dating someone at the time. So we just became acquaintances, and we saw each other at many events after that also. And we were friendly, and we like all hung out in groups together. Like played Cards Against Humanity, like drank together, that kind of stuff. But we were just really acquaintances, friendly acquaintances. And then in early 2015, he became single. I was single, and we eventually just started chatting, and then we started dating, and the rest is history. But yeah, we met at an event and became friends first, and we're just friends for 2 years, and then that's when we got together. So yeah, that's how we met. Are you going to move to Canada? Any tips for flying internationally in a plane that's not Southwest? Okay. My husband is Canadian. He still lives in Canada. So that's where this question is coming from. Are you going to move to Canada? The answer is no. I do not intend to move to Canada. He will be moving to the US. And some people, when I say that, are like baffled because they think that they wonder like why I wouldn't take the opportunity to get out, considering, you know, our current president. And it's for many reasons, not the least of which is because I have a lot of privilege, because based on my skin color and based on the fact that I do not look threatening in any way. And because I have that privilege and I do not personally feel unsafe in the US, I think it is my responsibility to stay here and try and fix things for people who do not feel safe. So I 100% do not begrudge anyone who does want to get out of the US based because of they feel threatened because of their skin color, because of religious persecution. If they feel like the US is not a hospitable place for them, I 100% support them. However, because I am white and I do have privilege based on being white, I think it's my job to stay in the US and fix things, work on fixing things. So that's what I'm going to do. But that's only one reason. I mean, I don't want it to sound like I'm some sort of like superhero, like wearing a cape because I'm staying in the US, you know, but that's how I feel about it. Okay. Let's see. What keeps you alive? My husband keeps me alive. My people. I have such amazing friends. I'm so, so lucky to have the friends that I have. And my dedication to fat liberation keeps me alive. My curiosity about people and about the world keeps me alive. It's like super important to me. And, you know, trashy reality TV and Coca-Cola, that also keeps me alive. I'm a simple kind of girl. Okay, so that was a very rambly episode, very lacking in direction. But I hope that you got some of your questions answered. If I didn't get to your question, I couldn't possibly answer everything I got. But I hope that I touched on things that you're interested in. If you had a question that you did not submit, you got to follow me on Instagram so that you know when I ask for these things. I am just at the Fat Lip Podcast on Instagram, so definitely follow. Thank you so much to Star Crusher for the music that you heard on today's episode and the music you're hearing right now. Quick note on that. If you follow the Fat Lip on Facebook, last week I posted about Star Crusher. Star Crusher's mom, who is super, super, he's super, super close with, has been going through some health things recently, and there's a GoFundMe for her and to cover some of their expenses. She's had a rough go recently, and they need all the help they can get. So if you have been listening to this podcast, you know that from the very beginning, Star Crusher music has been on the pod. I reached out to Hans before I started the podcast and just asked, because I have known him for many, many years. But I just asked if he'd be willing to allow me to use some of his music on the pod. And he was so excited, and he was just like, yes, absolutely. What do you need? And he like gave me access to basically everything he's ever made, so that I could choose from to use on the pod. And it just meant so much to me, and he's been so supportive. So I just want to return the favor and shine some light on this GoFundMe for his mom, because honestly, like, his music has been invaluable, and you've heard it on every episode of the pod. So if you enjoy this podcast, please consider donating to this GoFundMe for Hans/Starcrusher's mom. You can find the link from the FatLip Facebook page. Anyway, thank you, Starcrusher. You're the best. Thank you also to the Patreon patrons. The Patreon patron of the week is Kelsey. Thank you so much, Kelsey, for being a patron, supporting the show. And if you or someone you know would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. You can support the show with as little as $1 an episode, which is $2 a month. Every dollar helps. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you have a moment, please consider giving us a rating and review. Every rating and review makes us rank higher in search results, which makes us easier for people to find, which gets us into many more ears, which is super important. So if you have some time, please give us a rating and review. Also, don't forget to follow on social media. All of those links can be found at the top of thefatlip.com. And again, I'm most active on Instagram, and on Instagram, I'm just at thefatlippodcast. So follow me there. Okay, I think that's all I got for today. I will see you again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.